It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to the work of the Joint Legislative Council. Every 2 years, they create special study committees to dig deeper on certain issues when the legislature is out of session. An 11-member study group is examining barriers to employment and job training for people who are incarcerated and to recommend legislation. They held their second hearing Thursday, and we have two committee members. Join in, 800-642-1234. Ellie Rivera is co-founder and CEO of The Way Out, dedicated to employing formerly incarcerated people. He has a personal experience seeking employment after a felony conviction. Ellie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good morning. We also have Sadiq Isahako, who is Dean of General Education Academic and Career Pathway at Milwaukee Area Technical College. He's also Administrator of Correctional Education Services. Sadiq, welcome to you.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
For inviting me.
Yes, so the latest testimony before this committee occurred Thursday, and I want to ask you both, what stood out to you? Sadiq, you first.
What stood out to me basically was the National Conference of State Legislatures report. They presented some research to us to tell us what is happening around the country.
What is happening around the country?
Well, about... what every state is doing to increase opportunities for formerly incarcerated individuals, as well as the opportunities to remove barriers to employment opportunities for them. For instance, ban the box.
And Ellie, you also picked up on this ban the box. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, as the doctor had mentioned, you know, there was a lot of great data and, you know, wonderful resources offered up and eye-opening things as well. The Ban the Box initiative really has been, you know, one to eliminate the bias of checking the box to say, yes, I've been convicted of a felony conviction. And so over time, that has really been integrated into the employment hiring process, where less and less states are allowing folks to even ask that question. But what was really interesting was, you know, in addition to the ban the box, were these studies on expungement and how expungement, another opportunity to level the playing field for formerly incarcerated individuals, has had a negative effect on hiring at large. So where ban the box has gone away and expungement has stepped in as a tool, it has created this gray area where some employers, unfortunately, are making assumptions now that some folks in front of them that may not have a conviction or otherwise experience incarceration may have. And although they don't see it on paper, maybe they should discriminate. And so we're seeing higher rates of discrimination against young Latino males and Black males as it comes to the hiring process.
When you see this bias and what the research is saying here, where do you fall? What do you think about having this box about having been convicted of a felony on applications?
Well, it's, you know, certainly mine and my partner's position that, you know, these biases are real and we need to get rid of them. And that's why The Way Out has created an anti-bias employment platform that removes a lot of these triggers from the hiring process, whether it's a name, a phone number, a zip code, or otherwise. So we stand very firmly that we know this is real, unfortunately, and we're doing everything we can to level the playing field and get folks put in the door.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about efforts to reduce people returning to incarceration after being released and expanding employment opportunities through committee work. You can join in at 800-642-1234, talking with Ellie Rivera from The Way Out, members of a legislative study committee examining this issue, and Sadiq Isahaku from MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College. Sadiq, at least 9 improvement programs are available to people who are incarcerated in Wisconsin prisons. And the programs include information about domestic violence, about anger management, substance use disorder. What programs should corrections add to reduce offenders committing new crimes after release?
Yeah, these programs you mentioned are very important because some of them have been triggers that that make people end up in prison in the first place. However, it is also documented that the level of education and educational training for technical skills training are exceptionally important in reducing even the potential of going to prison. And in addition to that, after individuals are released, if they have a career or a job or training that will lead to a sustainable job, it goes a long way to preventing re-offense and conviction and imprisonment.
Some programs that corrections offers have wait lists into the thousands of people. What is causing the long wait times on these programs?
During our first session, the Department of Corrections did have a presentation, and I think the big take from that presentation was resources. They don't have enough resources to be able to provide classes and training for the treatment programs that you mentioned. In addition to that, they had about a 10,000 person wait list for career and technical education programs. And that part is something that the technical colleges through the WTCS system, there are 16 technical colleges in the state that could help the Department of Correction reduce the 10,000 wait list.
What is being done to reduce that wait list? Is there collaboration?
Absolutely. There is a lot of collaboration going on between DOC and the various technical colleges that are in the districts where you have prisons. For instance, we in Milwaukee Area Technical College collaborate very, very closely with the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to offer courses in 16 prisons across the state. We are fortunate to be one of the first institutions to be offered the Second Chance Pell program. So this allows us to provide free tuition to individuals who complete the financial aid application form, and then they would use that money to finance tuition and get into our programs to complete and get the credentials they need to find jobs. We, for instance, have every semester between 10 and 8 and 10 students come to our campus at the Workers Square location to get the welding fundamentals training and certification, which is an embedded certificate in the welding fundamentals technical diploma. And we have a very high job placement rate. Over 90% of the individuals who complete the program actually get hired before they are released.
I'd imagine in this economy that would be high. Ellie, when you hear a waiting list of 10,000 people for a career in technical college education, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, it's you know, unfortunate that these opportunities exist and they're not able to be access at the level that you know would certainly provide more opportunity to more people, and not just the education but the personal development side of things. They all work together in a job environment, so having that self-awareness that some of these you know anger management classes or other courses provide is critical. So once you're in the workplace, you're able to function at a higher level and work well with those around you. So it is very sad but understandable. You know, this environment of low employee pool is affecting everyone, including DOC.
Ellie Rivera there heads up the organization called The Way Out, and Sadiq Isahaku is Dean of General Education Academic and Career Pathway at Milwaukee Area Technical College. They're both part of a special legislative study committee examining how to improve job prospects for formerly incarcerated Wisconsinites, propose legislation in this area as well. Join in on gaining economic independence and stability. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the work of a Legislative Council study committee charged with identifying barriers to gainful employment and job training for people who are incarcerated or recently released. The State Department of Corrections published a report this year that showed 10-year highs for enrollment and completion rates in its treatment and education programs. But we also just heard about waiting lists that are in the thousands. Join in on job seekers with criminal records. 800-642-1234. We have Sadiq Isahaku, who's dean at Milwaukee Area Technical College and administrator of Correctional Education Services. Ellie Rivera is here, heads up the organization called The Way Out, and they are two of the 11 members of the study committee. They stay with us. Ellie, last year, the state health department reported 63% of inmates in our state had a substance use disorder. And if a person is released from prison with an untreated substance use disorder, how likely are they to reoffend?
Oh, unfortunately, very likely. It's really interesting that the employers that we speak with oftentimes set their bar in terms of who they would be willing to hire with a past offense. And they tend to kind of be biased towards folks potentially who have either a violent or sexual nature conviction for fear of disruption. And the truth of the matter, at least according to our data, has been that those with substance abuse tend to be the highest recidivating within our platform, certainly. So it is critical that folks come out and have already experienced, the work that needs to be done to help in this world where, unfortunately, substance abuse runs rampant, and these opportunities are everywhere for them to fall back into these behaviors. And so we see that as critical, both on the inside and continued support for substance abuse on the outside.
Ellie, as I was preparing to talk with you, some states I found are implementing individualized reentry plans that are specifically designed for the incarcerated individual based on their needs, based on their wants, their situation. How customized are Wisconsin's reentry plans, or how customizable, if you will, are Wisconsin's reentry plans?
Well, I hate to keep bringing up our platform, but our platform at The Way Out is designed just for that, to work with participating agencies to help identify and deliver these supportive services for individuals. It's really important that we recognize that it's not one size fits all for folks returning. Some folks may have a stable home to come back to, but need healthcare or other supportive services. And so really customizing that experience is the best way to assure success for these returning citizens once they're ready to return back to the real world.
Sadiq, you heard from workforce development leaders on Thursday in Milwaukee and South Central Wisconsin. What did they want to impress upon the committee?
The various programs that they offer to returning citizens, and We work very closely with Employ Milwaukee. We have developed certain relationships where the WIO partners send us referrals of individuals who have returned to their service areas. We also work together very closely to provide education and training at the Milwaukee House of Corrections, where we partner with Workforce Development Body Employ Milwaukee to provide GED, HSCD programs, as well as integrated education and training programs that offer individuals some technical trainings, so when they're released, they're able to use those skills to seek jobs.
Sadiq Isahaku with us from Milwaukee Area Technical College, a dean there. Ellie Rivera from The Way Out, both members of a legislative study committee examining the issues of reoffending and expanding job opportunities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Sherry is with us from WASA. Sherry, what's on your mind?
Good morning. My name is Sherry, and I am from the WASA area. I would say we don't want to forget about the ERP programs, the early release programs that a lot of the institutions' facilities do have. They use the CSEP program where the people that are incarcerated do find jobs before they are released. But one of my biggest concerns, and I work with this population, is when people that are incarcerated are released, they have nowhere to go. There are transitional living places, TLP houses. Many of the people that are incarcerated do not want to go there as they can be triggers. So the biggest thing, and I know a lot of people that are released as homeless. Hmm. So and that's the part that I find has been really difficult for people that have been incarcerated.
Sherry, thank you so much. Housing there, and I want a missing piece. I want both of you to respond. Ellie, you first.
Yeah, Sherry, you bring up a wonderful point there. You know, CSEP is an excellent program, and absolutely, housing is one of the highest needs for folks returning. And you're right. Personally, I can understand after being around people nonstop that you have no choice while incarcerated. The last thing you want to do is enter into a housing situation, although it may be necessary with other folks in these TLPs. We are working with, certainly over here in Milwaukee, with a network of landlords to help place some of these returning citizens, and really to help change the narrative about what type of tenants they can be. That's really the greatest opportunity, is just making sure that folks are good tenants when we get them placed in housing. But it is a challenge, and you're absolutely right. It can be a make or break situation.
Sadiq, what's coming up for you as you hear what Sherry brings to the table?
Yeah, Sherry, thanks for mentioning the ERP program. It's very important. One of the things that I am going to probably advocate for is a similar end release program that is specific to education and technical, I mean, it's career and technical education programs. When individuals finish certain career technical education programs, that they should get some credits towards their release. With regards to housing, if well coordinated, for instance, students who are in career technical education programs and they are released before completion, they can transition to Milwaukee Area Technical College to complete their programs. With regards to housing, we recently have been having conversations about the Westtown Green Housing Project that we have downtown, very close to campus. That eligible individuals who are released from incarceration could potentially, get housing at Westtown Green.
And we're going to have to leave it there and hopefully expand on Westtown Green. Sadiq Isahaku, Dean at Madison Area Technical College. Ellie Rivera heads up The Way Out. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.